Praise God. You know, one of the teachings that we've done is, it was called Burning Through the Soul. And it's very, very powerful about burning through the soul. But we're made of three parts. We're made of a spirit, soul, and body. And that body is called flesh. And one of the things that the Spirit's been putting on in my spirit is about burning through the flesh. And what is burning through the flesh, and what is he talking about? And in this, we want to do a quick little teaching and back it up with scriptures about burning through the flesh. Now, flesh has to do with lust. Flesh is associated with lust. The soul is associated with choices because it is the mind, will, and emotions. So the flesh, of course, we've got to be able to crucify the flesh because it's associated with lust. And lust is just not a perverse thing. Lust is an area where there's covetousness. Lust is the area where it's what you want. You lust over it so much that you're willing to give your soul. Are you listening? So in this, we know that the world is under the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of flesh. And one of the things he's done is he's taken us from the world, but the world constantly draws us back in that area of lust. And because we live in a world of lust, that is a constant battle to each and every one of us. And there's an area where your flesh loves to lust. It is created in lust. And it's not be created by God in lust. It was established by the fall of Adam. Is everybody with me? So when Adam fell, the serpent took over. And so now you are a part, your flesh is a part of this world. And in this, we must have the flesh crucified. But in this, there must be a burning through the flesh, and it brings something very pleasurable to God. It brings a sweet aroma. So burning through your flesh is a sweet aroma to God. Would you grab your swords for a moment, please? Now that I've just told you the whole teaching. And Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, would you read it with me, please? I say, then walk in the what? Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish or that you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and revelries, and anything that is like this or similar to it, just as I told you in time past, that those who what? Practice it. Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's an area where somebody practices it. It's a part of their life. They're still doing it. They haven't walked away from it. There's still a practice of this. And he said, those who practice such things will not have eternal life. Even though they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, and the end result is, if you are still practicing these things, you will lose salvation. Has everybody got it? Lust of the flesh is the desires and passions to practice things displeasing to God. But it's not displeasing to self. Practice of this thing is called practicing unrighteousness. And we need to burn through the flesh so we don't practice unrighteousness. Amen? In Leviticus chapter 17. Is everybody okay? Good. Leviticus 17. In verse 10. Leviticus 17 and verse 10. Now we know when God speaks of Israel, he's also speaking about his body. And it says, whatever man of the house of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from his people. That's why witchcraft is associated with drinking blood. Has everybody got it? It's an outward rebellious towards God. For the life of the flesh is in the what? The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man of the children of Israel or the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is its blood. Whoever eats of it will be cut off. So we know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why we do not drink or we eat raw blood. Has everybody got it? Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood, right? So when people cook food, it's cooked, isn't it? It's a burnt, it becomes a burnt offering in one aspect, because it's anything in the area that is associated with blood must be put in fire. Must be put in what? Fire. Now, you know, since the fall of Adam, the blood of man has been contaminated. It has had curse on it, right? Now, I truly don't believe that Adam had blood. I believe he was a glorified spirit. He had glorified flesh. I don't believe that he needed blood, because if the life of the flesh is in the blood, that would not be eternal. Can you imagine somebody, Adam falling, cutting himself and bleeding to death? Hello? So in this, when Adam fell, one of the things God had to do is create life in the flesh now. And he produced blood. That's why before Adam and Eve could leave the garden, he had to kill an animal and wrap their skin around them in the area of sacrifice, a life for life, to restore to them. Even though that they would still die, that they would still inherit the promises of multiplications and blessing and fruitfulness. So understand that the life of the flesh is in the blood. When you go to the doctor, he always checks your blood. If you're sick and dying, they check your blood. Why? Because it's in the blood. Everything is associated with the blood. And people who eat uncooked meat and eat raw blood, it's possible that they can receive diseases. So it's for purification and for health reasons also. In the Old Testament, it was a matter of life and death because it was an ordinance of God. In the New Testament, it's called wisdom. Hello. It's called wisdom. It doesn't mean you're going to go to hell, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get sick and die. And we want to live out the fullness that God has for us, don't we? So for humans, it must be cooked with fire. Everybody say fire. Fire. Amen. Go to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. And verse 18. Exodus 29, verse 18. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron his sons shall put their hands on the head of that ram, and then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around the altar. And in this, it was a sacrifice for atonement. And I'm not going to go into this right now. But I want you to understand that in this verse, he says, it is a sweet aroma, an offering by fire. Everyone say fire. And go to verse 41. And it says, and the other ram you shall offer at what? Twilight. And you shall offer it with the grain offering and drink offering as in the morning for a what? Sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. So all of these things are anything that is made by fire, an offering made by fire to the Lord is called a sweet aroma. I believe Job became a sweet aroma to God. In Ezekiel 20. How many of y'all want to be a sweet aroma to the Lord? Ezekiel 20. Is everybody there? 20:40. And let's read this together. For on my holy mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, says the Lord God, there all the house of Israel and all of them in the land shall serve me. There I'll accept them, and there I will require your offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifices together with your holy things. I will accept you as a what? Sweet aroma when I am what? When I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will be what? Hallowed in you before the Gentiles. So he looks at us and says, listen, you will become a sweet aroma to me when I am hallowed in you. Does everybody see that? In Ephesians 5. How do we become a sweet aroma? By fire. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and we'll start at verse 1. And let's read this together. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of what? Disobedience. So understand that we are to be a giver of self. In other words, when we give of ourself, it is a sweet aroma. That's called denying self. Everyone say denying self. It is burning through the flesh. By denying yourself, you're actually burning through the flesh. And how is this done? By the fire of God. By the what? The fire of God. That's why many people are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and fire cannot burn through their flesh. They allow their flesh to run their life because they're still caught up in lust. Now, I'm not saying that even though you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire, one of the things the enemy wants to do is put out your fire. And he puts out your fire by deception. He puts out your fire by putting bait before you. He puts out your fire by trying to bribe you. Because he knows that one of the things he wants to do is stop you from burning through your flesh so you're no longer a sweet aroma to God. But you're a sweet aroma to him. Because he loves the smell of your blood. Does everybody got it? He loves blood. That's why he loves to kill humans. That's why demons gather around the blood of humans. They love blood. Does everybody got it? In Matthew 3, burning through your flesh. Matthew 3, and verse 11, Matthew 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water. This was John the Baptist speaking. Unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Why fire? So you can burn through your flesh and you become a sweet aroma to God. Do you understand that? So you can burn through your flesh and become a sweet aroma to God. Go to Romans 8. Burning through the flesh. Come on, you know that. Those of us who are flesh eaters, you like the smell of that sweet aroma of that steak on the grill. Or that cheeseburger or whatever it may be. But you ever notice that pork does not have a very good smell? Because it is an unholy sacrifice, always has been and always will be. Pork never has a good smell when you grill it. Of course, they season it and they put all kinds of stuff in it to get rid of the smell. Barbecue and all the other stuff. But pork itself, if you cook it, does not have a sweet aroma. It is disgusting smell. At least to me. But I don't need it anyways. In Romans chapter 8. I wouldn't eat anything that Jesus cast a demon into. I mean, if Jesus wouldn't eat that, man, I'm not going to eat it, man. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. People are going to go home and check their freezers now. But it's not sin. I didn't say it was sin. You can eat anything. You can eat candy bars till you croak. You can Twinkie yourself to death. But I can guarantee you, you won't live the fullness that God required of you. Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the what? Things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who live in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because if they're living in the flesh, they are not a sweet aroma to the Lord, and it's not pleasing to him. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, in that, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, that is a reference if you are obeying the Spirit of God. Because there's a Spirit of God dwelling in people who have turned themselves dull, hardened heart towards him, and will no longer listen to his ways. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Again, if you are being led by the Spirit of God, you become a sweet aroma to the Lord. Because you are denying yourself. So when there is an arena of temptations, if there are things that are coming against you in the area of lust of any sort of the world, when you say no to those things, you deny yourself, you are actually releasing a sweet aroma to the Lord. A sweet aroma to the Lord. Holy Ghost deodorant. In John 6. John chapter 6. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? Are you burning through the flesh? Glory to God. John chapter 6 and verse 53. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father who sent me, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now this is powerful, because in true reality, the Bible says that the Word became flesh, right? Well, actually, the Word that became flesh is because the Spirit became blood. The Spirit became what? Blood. That's why Jesus was, his blood was not of a man. His blood was the blood created by God of the Spirit. Jesus' blood was not contaminated. That's why Mary did not have a husband. Mary was impregnated by the Spirit. And in so, the Spirit now became the blood in Jesus. Jesus' flesh was the Word that created all things. But in the natural realm, the blood is what brings life to the flesh. But in Jesus' circumstance, it was the Spirit who brought life to the flesh, because he was still his original state, but in the carnal arena, in a natural arena. So his blood was actually created, manufactured by God as the Spirit. That's why he said, he who drinks of my blood. Well, drinking of his blood meant drinking of his Spirit. Has everybody got this? And eating of his flesh was a representation of eating of his Word. That's why when we have communion, it is not a representation of the things of the natural. It's a representation of the things of the spiritual. Drinking of his blood, because Jesus' blood, the life of the flesh, is in the blood. And Jesus became flesh. God became flesh, but God is Spirit. So for him to maintain life in this realm, it had to be maintained by the Spirit. And his blood became, or the Spirit became his blood. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Again, since the fall of Adam, all man's blood has been contaminated and cursed. In verse 59, these things he said to in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew it in himself, that his disciples complained about it, that this he said to them, does this offend you? And what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? See, now he is talking about who he was. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh does what? Profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Life. Because life became flesh. Life became flesh. And life walked among us and spoke to us, expressed his love for us, and allowed himself to be crucified as a sweet aroma to his Father. See, because in the natural realm, the crucifixion, when Jesus was crucified, the Jews loved it. Not all of them, but many of them, because they thought he was a betrayer. They thought he was a deceiver. They thought he was an abomination. So they liked to see him crucified. But see, in the natural realm, it was a crucifixion when he died on the cross. But in the spiritual realm, it was a sweet aroma to his Father. Because everybody got it. Is everybody okay? So was Jesus burning through his flesh? Amen. He was making himself a sweet aroma to his Father. The greatest offering that he could ever give to God was his Son. Yeah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. the life of the flesh is in the blood. But we want to be a sweet aroma to our dad. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Beloved, I beg you, as a sojourner and a pilgrim, abstain from what? Fleshly lusts, which war against the what? The soul. The flesh is associated with lust. Again, the soul is associated with your mind, your will, and emotions, so that you're not going to allow your flesh to cause you to choose. Has everybody got it? But you see here, now we read this in Galatians where it says that the flesh lusts against the spirit, but it also lusts against the soul. The flesh comes against the soul and the spirit always because it's associated with this realm. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Does everybody see this? So again, the flesh is associated with the lusts of the world. The soul is associated with choice. In fact, I think I smell some flesh cooking right now. Somebody's making a sweet offering. And Romans 13, burning through your flesh, it is done by the fire of God. It is done by being led by the Spirit. Of course, you must be obedient to that arena. So every time you deny yourself, you offer a sweet aroma to the Lord. Romans 13. Praise God. Is everybody there? In verse 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Again, we are to put on Christ. That's the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, staying filled with the Spirit and the fire. Make no provision for the flesh and fulfilling of its lusts. You know, one of the things is by denying yourself, so in areas where you might used to go that might promote lust of the flesh, things that you might used to do that would promote lust of the flesh, you no longer do anymore because you're not making any provision for it. And when you deny those things, you actually offer up a sweet aroma to the Lord. So everybody got it? In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the what? Same mind, the same attitude, the same motive, the same will, the same desires. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. In other words, your sacrifice, your offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma will not go unrewarded. Will not go unrewarded. You know, when the devil tempts you, when you overcome temptation, you get a crown of life. And you're those crowns you'll be able to offer to the Lord when you get home. But in this, when you say no to the lust and you stay away from that, you deny yourself, you offer a sweet aroma to the Lord. Has everybody got it? That's an instant offering to him when you say no to self. Is everybody okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, burning through your flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. The fragrance of knowledge. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many peddling the word of God, but as of the sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So there is aroma of death and aroma of life. So in this, you and I want to be a sweet aroma to the Lord by denying ourself, by not allowing the lust of the world to fulfill the desire of our flesh, but being led by the Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire constantly, being a sweet aroma to the Lord, because you want to honor, respect him and honor him in every area of your life that is called the fear of the Lord. So everything that you're doing now is everything is associated in your life. Your decisions are now made by whether it's pleasing or displeasing. If it's pleasing to God, you know that you're releasing a sweet aroma to him. So though you may think he doesn't see you, he smells you. Hallelujah. I want to close it. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. And in this we see that denying of yourself will produce a sweet aroma to the Lord, burning through your flesh, making a sweet aroma. Remember, the flesh is associated with lust. The soul is associated with choice. And we do not want the flesh to make our choices. We want the Spirit to make our choices. Amen? And if you allow the Spirit to make the choices in your life, you are led by the Spirit. You are called sons of God, daughters of God, and you are releasing a sweet aroma, an offering to him in everything you do. And he knows where you're at. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are offering to you this morning not only our sacrifice of praise, a free will offering, but the offering of our spirit, soul, and body and flesh to you, that it may be a acceptable offering and a living sacrifice, well-pleasing, that we may be a sweet aroma to you in every area of our life, bringing glory to your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.